You're listening to Mind Your Own Business. Hi, I'm Scott Sullivan, your host. Mind Your Own Business is a weekly show that we do talking to some of the greatest CEOs and entrepreneurs, helping you to be better at being a business professional by learning from all of the experience that these entrepreneurs and CEOs bring from all around the world. Exclusively here on Inspired News Radio. And now it's time for Mind Your Own Business.
Well, it's a great day right here at Inspired News Radio. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Mind Your Own Business. I am Scott Sullivan. I am your guide, your Sherpa, the guy who brings you all of these wonderful CEOs, these wonderful business people, all of these things that we bring to you to help make your life better each and every day. And this week is absolutely no exception. Now, I want to just capture your attention just for a second. Are you listening? Listen closely. I'm going to say the word voodoo. Yes, voodoo. I have with me today a guest that I am so excited. This show has been months in the making. I have been trying to get a time and a place where we can get this guest with us today because she is going to absolutely change your belief system. And I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I believe this with all of my heart. I have with me today a lady by the whose title and name is Grow Mambo. She is a visionary, a motivator, something called an ethnologist that we're going to talk about. She is a religious leader. She's a choreographer, a dancer, a playwright, a teacher, not least of all, a mother. And she's the founder and director of La Para Style Haitian Sanctuary. And she's also, on top of all of that, she's the founder and chairperson of the National African Religion Congress. So I mean to tell you, we have got a ton of information for you today. But what we are going to do is, most importantly, is we're going to talk about voodoo and what Haitian voodoo is and how Grow Mambo found her way into this world. And we're going to dispel the notion. We're going to change your belief system today. So Grow Mambo, welcome to Mind Your Own Business. And how the heck are you today?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for having me on your show as a guest.
Well, you are, it's our honor, and you are welcome anytime. And I am so excited. And I know it's been several months trying to get this organized. And I know you are very, very busy. And I so appreciate you taking time to hang out with us and to let our listeners know. First of all, I just got to throw it out there because I hope I caught everybody's attention. We are going to talk about voodoo today. Is that right?
Yes.
That's what we're going to do. It's crazy.
I'm a priestess, and yep, we're going to talk about voodoo.
Well, I'm super excited because what I want to do is I want to just turn this over to you, and I want you to tell us a little bit about, you know, who you are and what it is that you do. And then I want to talk about a little bit of the origin story. You know, how did you, as a young girl, decide, you know, that this was, you know, I know you were kind of thrust upon this being a voodoo priestess, but I want to figure out, you know, how does this actually happen, first of all, and then who you are, and then a little bit about dispelling that notion. I mean, we think of, you know, here in North America, you know, in the, you know, traditional films and books and everything else, we see voodoo as a, you know, this, you take this effigy of somebody, a doll, and you stick pins in it, and you have a, you know, a large Haitian man with a cigar, and all of a sudden you have this thing called, this religion called voodoo, and that's nowhere near what reality is. And I want you to kind of dispel that notion. So I'm just going to let you start talking and tell us all about it, but kind of start with, you know, how did you get into this and who you are and what you do?
When I became a voodoo priestess, it's not something that I really wanted to do. I actually was in the church. I was Baptist, but I was born with the gift of sight so I could see. And what happened to me as a young person, I was always seeing something. I could see when somebody was going to die. I could see when something was going to happen or something good. And whenever I went to my mother and told my mother, she would tell me I was satanic and take me to the church. And then the church would do all this praying over me because they felt as though God is not going to tell me any information like that. He's not going to tell me nothing. But yet when everything would happen and it would come true, exactly the way I predicted it, nobody apologized. They just ignored it. And each time I got criticized and kind of beat up in the church. So I left the church. And then a little later, I found myself to the Icon religion, which is from out of Ghana. And the way I found my way there was I had got sick. I was facing brain surgery, and I was practically blind, where I was supposed to have a surgery on the middle part of my brain. And I didn't want the surgery, and then I was told to have a reading. I got a reading, and then they told me things about my grandmother, great-grandmother, things that I didn't know. And then when I found out from my grandmother, those things were really true, what they told me. So then I went back and I got work done. I had to have 3 bottles of gin and I had to have a chicken, different things like that. And they did a spiritual bath for me and they bathed me from head to toe. And then within 7 days, I was off of all medications. I was off of Percocet. I was off of Percodine. I was off of Sursat treatment. I was off of everything. And my vision came back 20/20. But then they told me I needed to become a priestess, and then I said, I can't do that because my fiancé is not going to like that. He's not going to want me to be a priestess. And then I didn't do it. I said that on a Sunday, and then he died in a car accident on a Wednesday. So then that's when I really started to look. I said, I should have believed when I got healed, and I didn't. And then what I did was I wound up going into Haiti. And I found my godfather, Hilaire Michel, and he had a dream about me. I had a dream about his face. And then I got started like that. Voodoo is high, sacred of God. That's what the word voodoo means. And it's the name of the religion. It's not an act. Many people, they reduce it down to an act and say somebody did voodoo to you. Somebody did evil to you. But that's not what it is. Even the pins and dolls, there's no such things as pens and sticking it in a doll. They took that from one of our highest rituals, which is the paquette. And the paquette is put together with feathers and satins and pearls and stones. It's put together very pretty. But because you're in a bush, there's no needle and thread. The only way to hold it together is by straight pens. And then when you're in a 12 to a 13-hour ceremony, and you got to get 7 of them done, the quickest way to do it is with straight pens. But what society did, they took that, which is our highest ritual for divination, they took that, and then they came up with the voodoo doll.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So first of all, I mean, there's so much there to talk about, but so you were studying or where were you living when all of this happened? When you said your fiance was killed in a car accident and everything else, were you abroad or in Haiti at the time, or were you here in the United States? Where were you when all this was happening?
I was in Philadelphia. In fact, when they did an article on me at the Philadelphia Inquirer, which it was a front page article, they went and they researched that car accident. They researched everything about my history, about the medical and how I needed the brain. They researched everything, and it came up that it was legitimate. But I was living here in Philadelphia, and it was that I was just turning my back, and I wasn't going to do what my grandmother did, my great-grandmother did, the things that my family kept away from me. They knew that people in the family was doing work and servicing the people and servicing God that way. But somewhere along the line, when it came to my grandmother, which was my mother's mother, she didn't do it. And then it passed to my mother, and she didn't do it. In fact, with my mother, when she got pregnant with me, she went blind. And then when I was born, her vision came back. So, you know, now it comes down to me where I'm looking like I'm going to die. So I was like, I need to do something about this. This is really real. And the information that I got in a reading, not from my family, but in a reading, it was all true. And I had to go to my grandmother to get the confirmation. She thought somebody in the family leaked the information, but it was all from a reading.
That's fantastic. Okay. So when did you decide, or how did you get your feet on the path where you said, okay, now I'm going to take this and I'm going to bring it to more people. I'm going to turn this around. First of all, the fact is that, you know, the perception of the word voodoo, let's talk about what that means. And when you bring it back to the people, right, it's a religion and you're bringing it back to the masses. What does that look like? And how did you decide that that's where you needed to be? Because I'm assuming being a high priestess, you're teaching others, you're bringing others in. And that's where the sanctuary comes into play, I'm assuming.
Yes, I actually have the sanctuary, but I actually work in other faiths too. You know, because the problems that the voodoo have, the other faiths, they have it too. Whereas if it's Santeria, that's the name of their religion, Santeria, but the society would classify it as voodoo, something evil. The same thing with Candomblé, which is in Brazil. So what I did was I worked from country to country, going to the government and state and city officials to get the right information for each one of the religions. And that's how the National African Religion Congress was born, because there were too many people that were saying that they were priests when they weren't. And they were the ones that was giving us a bad name. So with the Congress, what we do is we investigate that priest. If they say they're a priest, then they have to give us all their information. When did they become a priest? Where did they train? Who? What country? What is their other name? What is the name they were born with? On down to their ID, social security, or down to their the numbers that's in the different countries to verify them. And this way, we was able to put the true priests out there to be able to fight. But in the voodoo, we get the bad end of the stick, and I just got tired of being beat up. I just got tired of being criticized, you know, just because I was a voodoo priestess. I was just like anybody else. I just have sight. You know, sometimes when I have sight, my vision, sometimes I feel like I'm cursed. And then sometimes I feel like it's just a blessing. Sometimes I feel like it's a gift. Like when I saw this pandemic, and on November the 1st, we are getting ready to get hit with the biggest disease that we have ever got hit with. Oh, my God. It's going to hurt everywhere. People are going to die. People are going to die. But, you know, other people say, oh, that's just the voodoo talking. That's just the voodoo talking. But people who know my credentials, once that went out, the people in all these different countries in the religions, they started preparing themselves.
That makes sense, though. I mean, because, yeah, I mean, if you have faith and you believe that the person that, you know, if you have faith in somebody who, let's say, is a, you know, proven investment banker, and they say, hey, you know, the value of the dollar is going to go down next year, you know, because of this, this, and this, you believe that and you prepare for it. So it makes total sense that, you know, the followers then have faith and they have belief in the process. So they say, okay, this makes sense. So we're going to prepare for it. So what you're saying is that during, you call these divinations, during these sites, these readings that you're having, you were able to predict that this COVID was coming.
Oh yeah. And people who understood it on a much higher level, they understood it, that it was going to be a pandemic. And what they started doing is selling stock. They started selling investments, selling stock. They started getting themselves together, and they actually started in November and December of last year to get themselves ready for what was about to hit.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay,
but
then.
And you know what? Sometimes I'd be like, oh. Like one time there was a person who got killed. There was a security guard that got killed in a department store. This was years ago. And then the Lord told me where the person went. So now here I am. I'm going to be all nice and I'm going to be good. I call the police and I tell the police, I know who killed the security guard. Well, they come to my house, they get me. And then they take me over to the district. And then I tell them everything about what I saw, down to the shoestrings and the blood that was on the shoestrings on the right foot. Well, they took me from there, and then they took me down to the roundhouse. So now I'm in the roundhouse, and I'm in, like, an interrogation room. And I'm like, uh-oh, they might think I did it. Because all the information that I was giving them was so precise, and then they wanted to know, how did I know? So now I'm screaming to let me out. Let me out. You know, I'm just calling you to tell you who did it. And they were like, how you know? I'm a voodoo priestess and I'm a psychic. That's how I know. And it took a lot for them to listen to me and let me go. All because I said voodoo. It took a lot. And then sometimes I have been called as an expert witness where a man had killed his wife. He just took a gun and shot her. And what happened was the jury came back deadlocked. So the judge told me that she wanted me to come down there. And I told her, well, I can't come now because I was busy in ceremony. She said, either you come or I will send a car for you to pick you up. So I had to stop what I was doing and go down to the court. I get down to the court and find out that this man killed his wife. So now the DA is saying, so they use voodoo on him. I'm like, no, that's not what it is. So now I have to go through, no, voodoo is high and sacred of God, and stop taking it and reducing it down to an act. Well, they wanted to know, how would this man believe that his wife had did something to him? Because when he got the reading, that person don't know him. And they could tell him everything that happened. That's why he would believe it. He doesn't know the person who's doing the reading. So he goes to Cuba. He gets work done. He comes back, and he's doing excellent. And then the wife bothers him again. He goes to Brazil. He comes back. He does excellent. And then the wife bothers him again. Then he goes to Nigeria, get more work done in Nigeria. He comes back, and then the wife tells him, I'm using voodoo to kill you, and you're going to die, and I'm going to take everything. And then he starts to do bad, and then he took a gun and shot her. Through my testimony, he walked. They let him go.
Wow. Okay. That's just, that is absolutely amazing that we're
Are
just
you okay.
Yeah, no, I'm sitting here trying to think about, you know, the power that is being wielded here. And the fact is that there are, you know, forces in play that are, you know, so much greater than, you know, what we can see and what we can feel and what we can touch. And it just leaves me kind of, you know, speechless, trying to figure out, you know, where do you go from here? What do you do? So where do you take this now when you're talking to the masses? How are you now taking it to the street? How are you helping the individual, the common man? How are you bringing it to the masses?
I tell them that they need to learn themselves because they don't know themselves. All they know is what they think every day and what they do every day. And the things to be able to learn themselves is outside of them and not inside of them. They only know if they get up in the morning to drink coffee, to have breakfast, or they might go to the bus stop, go to work, and then they do their job at work. They come home, they get the kids, you know, different things like that. No, well, let's take a break. Let's go to Atlantic City. Let's go to the beach, or let's go to Vegas, or let's go to Florida, you know, things like that. But what I try to get them to do is to get to know themselves. And in order to get to know themselves, you got to know the Loa that you were born with. And then I try to tell them, that funny feeling that you get, when you hear that funny feeling that tells you you should not go around the corner because you're going to fall in the ditch, that's that Loa that you was born with talking to you. And then what you should do is not go around the corner because you're going to fall in the ditch. A lot of times people get that funny feeling, but they ignore it They go around the corner, they fall in the ditch, and then they go, oh my God, I should have listened. I shouldn't have did that. And there's too many times when people will get that funny feeling, and they could call it intuition. You know, they could call it their guardian angel talking to them. They could say it's the Holy Spirit guiding them. They could say it's the Loa, it's the Risha, it's the Obelsum. They have different names in every walk of life. That's what's talking to them. That's what they have to get to know. Then they would know that if they're feeling depressed, they don't have to look for a reason on why they're depressed. Sometimes they look for a reason on why they are depressed, when really the depression could be the change of power at the seasons. It could be that. But they could be feeling that. But instead of understanding it as the change of the power to the seasons, they look at their life and feels as though it's something wrong in their life. And then they get depressed, and then they don't feel good, then they cry a lot. But that's only because they don't understand the energies that they were born with or the powers that they were born with. They don't know how to obey when it talks to them. That's what I tell people. Get to know yourself. If you are Dumbala, the rain is what you need. You start to feel bad, walk in the rain. You don't need an umbrella. If you're a child of Virgin Freedom, go to the river. And if you can, get in it. If you're a child of Virgin Dental, go to the ocean. Get in it. And these are the things that the power and the energy feeds them. And it takes them higher. It takes their thinking higher. And it takes them to be able to reach higher outside the box. And that's what they have to do. They got to go outside the box. Even if there's fire, some people have the Loa on their head and it's the fire. Sit by a fireplace. Let it crack. Sit there and listen. It could be the wind. Go where it's breezy. If it's breezy outside, don't run. Sit in it. And all of these things are voodoo.
So how do you teach somebody that comes to you? How do you say, you tell them to get to know themselves? How do you teach somebody how to be receptive or be open to that small, still voice that, you know, you called it everything, a gut feeling, a guardian angel, a Holy Spirit, whatever it is? How do you train someone, or how do you teach someone to train themselves to actually even be aware of that?
Because it's the feeling that they get. And what I tell them is, when you get that feeling, don't ignore it. That feeling is that spirit or Loa, is the guardian angel, is talking to you. Don't ignore it. And each time you get that feeling, it gets stronger and stronger when you pay attention to it. You pay attention. Some people might get a feeling that something is very happy. Why am I feeling happy? I'm just sitting here feeling happy. For what? And then next thing you know, something happens, and it's the happiest moment in their life. So you look for it. If you get the feeling of danger, you look for it. If you get the feeling, oh, I shouldn't drive my car today, don't drive. But it's easy if you could just obey it. It's easy if you could just feel it and hold on to it. Don't ignore it. Never ignore it. And it speaks to us in many languages because we're different people. We're different races. We're different colors, different ethnics. We're different. So it's going to speak to you on a personal level that only you can understand it. And then you're coming outside the box. Now you're stepping in an all different world. You're stepping into another world and another realm.
Wow. So tell us a little bit about about some of the other aspects of your life then. So not only are you, we talked a lot about the voodoo, and we've talked a lot about how, you know, we're dispelling that myth today, is that, you know, it's not what you see in the movies and you see on TV and read in books. It's, you know, we've talked about it being the higher power, and that it really is, you know, a form of religion. So let's talk a little bit about the other aspects of Grow Mambo. Talk about being a mom and, you know, also your experience of being an author and, you know, and also the things that you're doing now with, you know, the written word. Not only are you a best-selling author of books that we're going to talk about at the end of the show today, but you know, what else are you doing in as far as the playwrights aspect you're talking about and some of the things that you're putting out there? Talk about other aspects of your life. What are the other things that are going on in your world?
As a mom, my kids will tell you, you can't get away with nothing with mom.
I bet.
Because they know that I'm constantly dividing, constantly bringing divination. So they'll tell you, you can't get away with nothing with mom. But my children, they're very close to me. And as my daughter, the youngest one, when she was like 5 years old or younger, she traveled the world with me. You know, when I had to go to countries to solve disputes, I'm a Lauriary Lou, which is a high title. And I'm also Iya Abiye, which I am the mother of all Ogun worshipers in the world, is what I am. So if there's a problem in a country, then I can go to that country and settle the dispute. So that right there is kind of busy, you know, because you can have like two kings that have disputes, and I have to come in and solve the dispute among the two kings, or you can have the different areas that could be having a dispute. Like at one time, Cuba was having a dispute with Nigeria, so I had to talk between the two countries to solve the disputes. And these were religious disputes, but they actually filtered down to what the people did physically every day. So that right there is a lot of work there. And I try to keep my children with me as they were growing up, because with my son, I had to leave him a lot when I went into all these countries to work. But as the author in the book, most of that comes from when I'm in possession, and I'm in like a 3-day possession with the Loa. So the Loa will come in, and I will be possessed for 3 days. And within the 3 days, the Loa is given everything. Everything that's in that book, the Loa is given it. And it's about 7 people around who documents everything that happens within that possession from when he first come in until 3 days later when he leaves. And when I come out of the possession, I don't know anything. But then they have everything taped and recorded. So I listen to the tapes and listen to the recordings. And then from that, the book starts to build.
Well, if you're just joining us right now, my guest today is Grow Mamba, a voodoo priestess, as she just mentioned, an author. She's also a mom, and she has been working in this world for many years. And if you've been listening to us since the beginning of the show, you will know that we have, you know, really concentrated it of dispelling the idea of what voodoo is from, you know, the national media, the television, the movies and books and things like that. So, and how voodoo is more mainstream than we could possibly ever imagine, and that it's in more countries than just Haiti. I've learned so much today from Grow Mamba. I'm so glad that you were here. But what I want to do is I want to make sure that everybody knows how to get a hold of Grow Mambo's book. But most importantly, I want you to find out how to actually get in touch with and plug in, you know, to this information stream. And that is simply you just go to growmambo.com, which is her website. She's got an entire team. She's got a fantastic lady that works with her side by side that answers a lot of her correspondence and helps her on a daily basis. And she's also been a guest on our show. And I'm so glad that you have a team around you. And she's also, she runs a sanctuary in Philadelphia. So if you're in that local area, there's a place when we're not under the, you know, COVID lockdown, there would be a place for you to actually go. But now in this world that we live in, go to growmambo.com and actually look through the entire website. It's fantastic. There are videos, there's photos, there's tons and tons and tons of information that will just, it'll open your eyes, it'll remove the scales from your eyes, and you're going to go, wow, I had no idea, because I have learned so much in the months of preparation and trying to get Grow Mambo on the show and having this conversation. I have learned so much. But what I want to do is I want to also make sure that you go to, on the website, there's a tab there that's called My Books. And right now, there's two things that I want to draw your attention to, and that is Life and Living, and it's the version of 2019, a 7-year blueprint for living. And this is the second volume, because there was a first volume of Life and Living in 2016 in volume one. And during these three-day possessions that she talks about, is where this information flows through her. And then that gets turned into these books, and these books can help you. Tell us a little bit about, you know, why I should read the book, Grow Mambo. Why, what is it that I'm going to get from, you know, having and reading your book, and what is it going to do to help change my life?
It'll help you get through, they call it a pandemic, but in our faith, we're calling it a plague. And it'll help you get through it. And it'll point out all the different things that's happening from one country to the next. It even talks about our country, what is happening in our country. It talks about how the states will be turning against one another, how the police and how the people will turn against the police. It talks about the riots, and it talked about all of this before it actually happened. But, you know, some people, they listen to the news, and some of the news is true, and then some of it is not true. And sometimes the people get confused and don't know what to believe. But the book will give them clarity so that they could be able to see through it all on how clear it is for them to be able to make it through. And that's the main thing that I stress about the books, because during this time, I get so many phone calls with people saying, Grow Mambo, tell me what's going to happen next. Grow Mambo, what's going to happen in my state? Grow Mambo, should I do this? Grow Mambo, should I do that? I get so many calls like that, and I just refer them all to the book. It even will tell you what happens in the month, like what's going to happen in April, what's going to happen in May. It's going to tell you what's going to happen in June, July, August, and September. It's going to tell you what's going to happen all the way to the end of the year, to next year. And it actually prepares you. So when you start to go through these things at this time, you can make it. It's hard going through the pandemic, or we call it a plague. It's hard in the shut-in. You know, then you got where they had Black Lives Matter. They had that. Okay, so it took George Floyd to die at the hands of the police, and it took international notice of this thing. But Black Lives Matter to me. Black lives have to matter, not to all people, but it has to matter to the Black people. It has to matter to them. Because the book even talks about what was going on that before this thing even happened. And it's just a lot of information that will really, really help you. And it brings clarity. And you'll even be able to see where the lies is coming up in the news media. You'll even be able to see that and go, uh-oh, the book says, and then you'll see how it contradicts that, and then you'll know that that's not true.
Wow. Okay. So go to growmambo.com and go to My Books, and you can actually buy the book right there from the website. And it's also available on Amazon. So, of course, wherever you get your books, all you have to do is just go Life and Living 2019. It's a 7-year blueprint for living, and it's volume two, and it's obviously authored by Grow Mambo. So you, any of those words that you put into a search engine on anywhere where you get your books, and you will be able to find it. But also, tell us a little bit about your readings and your divinations. Are you still doing those now? Since we don't have the in-person, you know, face-to-face time, are you still doing those online? Are you still helping people with their readings and your divinations?
Yes, that's no change for me, because people would come here for readings. And then people in other countries, they get their readings by telephone. So for me, it's more telephone readings now as opposed to people coming in. But some people may want to come in for the reading. I don't let them in because we're quarantined here. But they will sit on the sanctuary patio, which I'm inside. And if they want to be here like that, I will do the reading while they're outside. And then they'll Zoom me being here with me. And then I could do the reading like that. But then readings, I do them over the telephone all the time. And that's from wherever. They have ways of making that phone call.
And I
just do the reading like that, whether it's coming in from Africa or I have some readings that come in from China, India. Just had one from India about a couple weeks ago, but they're from all over. And I just do the reading for them over the phone. And some of them want to do a FaceTime reading. Some of them want to still come. And the ones that come are the ones that are here in the United States. They come. But the ones that's out of the country, theirs is phone calls.
And then what's next for Grow Mambo? Where do you have an heir apparent? Are you training the next, series of priestesses? Is there a voodoo training academy? How do you perpetuate the next generation? How do we prepare the next generation for expansion? And what's next for you personally? Where do you go from here? I mean, you're already a celebrated author. You're a psychic. You have the gift of sight, you have the intuition that we talked about, all of the credentials that you have worked all of your life on. Where do you go from here?
Okay, I got to explain this to you first. The homophore that I'm out of is over 500 years old. It's about 565 years is how old that homophore is. In that homophore, you have lots of Mambos and Hungans. Some of us is out of the country. And some of us, they will never leave Haiti. Those are the ones that stay in Haiti. In the country, the Novayan, which is my last name, Novayan, you can find us in Boston or Baltimore or New York or Miami, Philadelphia, Canada. You can find them in New York. You can find them like that. But every Mambo and Hungan that comes from out of that homophore has a house. And then there's so many people that they have in that house. And then they have people that study to become Mambos and Hungans in that house. So my brother has a house. My other brother has a house. My sister has a house. You know, all of my spiritual family in my era that I'm initiated into, we all have houses. And then underneath of that, the God kids, they have houses. In my house, I have about 65 or 70 God kids. And out of that, it's 17 of them that are studying to be high priest. And then behind that, there's quite a few of them that's getting ready to go into the priesthood. But we are at a standstill now because we can't travel to Haiti.
I see. So is the only place that produces priests and priestesses is in Haiti?
No. You can, people could get initiated to become priests here in the United States, but the higher levels, they have to go to Haiti for that. The higher levels, like to become a high priest or a high priestess, you have to go to Haiti for that one. But if you're going to become a priest, you could do that here in the United States, or first level initiation, you could do that in the United States, but we're not doing that. Because of the COVID-19, we're not doing that. In my house, we have about 25 people that's quarantined. So it's a strict rule that we have where we not bring it into the house. So among those 25 people, those are the workers of the homophore for everybody else that needs work on the outside, readings on the outside, or whatever they need. Like some people might need a spiritual bath. And those are the workers, the ones that's quarantined like that, that come together and we do the prayers and everything for the spiritual bath. And if they come here, we'll give it to them, or if we have to send it out to wherever they are. So we have a group that's quarantined in every house, every spiritual house had done that, where they got ready when they knew it was coming in January. So things like us, we don't go to the supermarket. We don't go to pharmacy. We don't do, you know, a lot of things where we might be able to be infected. We don't do that. We have some people in the house that are first line workers. We have some that are pharmacists, and we have some that are doctors, and we have some that are nurses that are a part of this Hummer Four. But those are the ones that can't come inside, and this is their sanctuary. So when we deal with them, they come on a sanctuary that's on the outside, and then we still are inside to keep our distance because we have to be able to work and still serve the masses of the people.
Excellent. Okay. So it sounds like you've got, the last question I have is, so first of all, there's this entire, you know, society that I had no idea even existed. So approximately what's the population of the voodoo, you know, movement of the people that are studying and use voodoo as their religion? How shocked would I be at how many people there are in the United States that are practicing right now?
Well, you would be very shocked. It's in the thousands.
Wow, I am shocked. You're right. So
you would be very shocked. It's just that a lot of them, they are not going to let people in because they don't want them to come in and then take whatever it is that they're doing and then misrepresent it. So to really get into a house, you have to know somebody that's going to take you to that priest, that mambo, or that hungan, and introduce you to see if you could gain entrance into the house. So it's not easy to just get into a house, but once you get into a house, then you start to know this house in North Philly and this house in South Philly and this one in Northwest, this one in New York. You start to know all these different houses that's out here. And a lot of times it blows their mind because they have no idea that the network is like that.
It's like this whole network that I didn't know existed that's like right there in plain sight. Mm-hmm. I can't even begin to tell you how wonderful it is to have you on a show today. It has been so fantastic. My guest today is Gro Mambo. She's a high priestess of voodoo, and she has just been absolutely opening our eyes and letting us know, you're just dispelling all of the myths and rumors about voodoo as a religion. She's based out of Philadelphia, but she's a best-selling author. She's a high priestess, like we said. She has her own sanctuary in Philadelphia. You can find her at growmambo.com. I am so, so thankful that you decided you would just hang out with us for an hour and give us some information. You're welcome back anytime. Please let us know when you are available again, and we'd love to have a follow-up. We've just barely scratched the surface, and this time I knew was going to fly by so fast. Anything you want to just, any last parting words you want to say to the audience before we sign off today?
I would like for them to just have peace is what I really would like for them to do, and to try to stay focused on what they want and where they want to go. That's what I have to say to everybody right now, because moving through the pandemic is affecting everybody. And I know that people are getting frustrated because people wear masks, they not wear masks, people having parties, they shouldn't have parties, you know, all the different things. And some people are calling me up and saying, Gro Mambo, we're never going to get out of this because we can't work together. And that's what the people need to understand, that in this, we are one. And if we're going to make it out of this, we have to come together as one. Buy my
Absolutely.
Book.
What was that last thing? What?
Get my book.
Oh, and buy your book. That's right. Life and Living 2019, A 7-Year Blueprint for Living, Volume 2. It's available at growmambo.com or wherever you get your literature. It's just all you have to do is put in Gro Mambo or Life and Living 2019, and you will find it available, obviously, on the website or on Amazon for sure, and wherever else you buy your books. Gro Mambo, thank you for hanging out with us today. We so much appreciate it. I say it every week, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart. I could not do what I do without you, the listeners. I so appreciate it. I tell everybody each and every week that we really appreciate the fact that you will take some time out of your life. And I hope that I continue to bring you topics that are interesting, that bring you information and things that, you know, have an impact on your life in a positive manner. I also want to thank all the folks over at Inspired News Radio. They do a fantastic job. It's where I host my platform that I host my shows on, but I'm also wherever you get your podcasts. So wherever you are listening to this right now, whether it's on Apple or Spotify or Google or wherever you get your podcasts, I'd like for you to go to the bottom of that page right now, hit the subscribe and like button. Also, if you feel so inclined, please leave a review. Always, please go to inspirednewsradio.com. It is a wonderful platform. It's positive programs that are delivered to the world designed to inspire, inform, educate, and motivate. And all of the folks over at Inspired News Radio do such a fantastic job. I am so proud to be part of that network. And I'm so proud to be able to put Mind Your Own Business on the show every single week, or on that platform every single week. And I mean it. I couldn't do it without you. You can find me on all the social media platforms. It's real simple. I'm at Sales with Sully on Instagram, Twitter. You can find me on LinkedIn under Scott Sullivan. Just about anywhere you type in the word Sully, you can find me. I am everywhere, all over social media, because it's important to me to bring you information that makes you better each and every day and also helps improve the quality of your life. I say it every week, so please mind your own business, because nobody else is going to.
You've been listening to Mind Your Own Business right here on InspiredNewsRadio.com. Thanks for tuning in each week as we interview some of the greatest CEOs and entrepreneurs in the world. You can reach us on Twitter at INR Talk Radio. Always use the hashtag MYOB for Mind Your Own Business. Make sure you stop by and check out all of the past episodes and all the great things that are available on our website, www.inspirednewsradio. There's great resources there that you can find for all of our other shows too. Thanks for being a part of the Inspired News Radio family. Until next week, remember to mind your own business.